All right, let me call out the names I already have. I've got Steve Ray, David Leo, Hans Peter De Koning, Pat Hayes, and Peter Yim. And if you're already on the phone and I didn't call your name, please announce yourself. Let me suggest, Pat, since you brought up the most major agenda item, would you take over the meeting, Pat?
Sure, okay. I guess, first of all, I should sort of apologize to everybody for being behind my predicted curve here. But anyway, the issue that hits me most strongly when I look at the ZIM, and was raised also by this email from Ed, I think, quoting Chuck Ehrlich, is that they're, certainly the VIM, and maybe some other ontologies, have sort of deliberate ambiguities put into them. Which I recognize, a phenomenon I recognize from working on other standards, but it's in which a careful compromise has been found, probably between two rival camps as to the choice of wording. And it's the way that the compromise has been operated is that a wording has been found that everybody is willing to live with, but in fact they are each separately maintaining their separate understandings of these words. So we have an actual ambiguity, or in the worst case, an actual contradiction, but that's what's not, kind of wired into the vocabulary. Now, that's fine for getting a common vocabulary, but it's a very bad, it feels different when you're writing an ontology. So in this particular case, that I noted, in the VIM, the very first definition used the term reference. Like saying a quantity is defined using a number and a reference. And then it notes that a reference could be a unit, or a procedure, or a material, in these examples, or even a combination, I guess, of these things. Now, the only way I can see to write axioms about this is, there are two ways. The way which preserves the Zim's vocabulary, which would be to have a class for reference and in the ontology, but all the axioms would begin by saying, if X is a reference and a unit, then they would write the axiom to the case where one of the options was chosen. And then there would be other axioms that said if X is a reference and a procedure. And so that the category of reference is really there only to preserve vocabulary. It serves, all the axioms would mention the subcases, would disambiguate, basically, into its unambiguous or less ambiguous cases. So that raises the question as to what this class is doing in the ontology. I mean, it isn't doing anything, technically speaking. And I guess I wonder what people's views are on this phenomenon generally, or we could focus on a particular case if we look at the case. You know, should we write our ontology so as to preserve the vocabulary of things like the VIM as accurately as possible, even though the ontology itself will then kind of illustrate the fact that this vocabulary item is essentially meaningless or is mostly ambiguous. Or should we sort of set out to clean it up?
This is Steve. I have an opinion on that, because first of all, what have the other ontologies done about this? Because I guess they've just gone their own way on these issues. I would want to lean towards picking a compatible property with the VIM, because that would maximize the chances that they'll enjoy what we're doing. And maybe actually making it quite obvious that these things are intentionally ambiguous would be a constructive contribution to the ontology community anyway.
Right, so preserving the vocabulary as far as possible, but but not disguising the hollowness of the content.
Right.
Right. Okay.
I was thinking that's the
point of the game. I value other opinions.
Yeah, Peter Yim here. I think, I mean, this, conceptually, this is beautiful and necessary if we we have on our agenda to one day convert all existing natural language standards to include a version that's expressed in as an ontology. So I believe this would be important, and we almost can't do away with it. It's unlike starting new ontologies where we have a total say if we're trying to just convert legacy standards into those new sets of standards that has sort of pairwise natural language and ontology language. This would be totally necessary, and I think this would be a great chance that if we can fully demonstrate that that's exactly what we can achieve. It will make buy-in from other standard bearers much more palatable.
So, Peter, just to clarify, you're talking of
you're using the category. Yeah, you're using of a category reference just to preserve vocabulary.
Yes, I see. Okay. Yeah.
This is Hans Peter. Can I?
Go on.
This is Hans Peter DeKooning. I've also been thinking about this, and what strikes me is that I think the Comus ontology, what we're trying to do is to provide a basis for, let's say, the an ontology to use it as a formal data model. And what the BIM is doing, I think their scope is slightly broader than what we are trying to do, in the sense that they are they're trying to create one vocabulary for both quantities and units and for metrology concepts. I think this is where you see this vague concept of reference coming in. So I think we can, in Comus, we can select a subset of the total scope of the VIM, and then in our case, I think that reference boils down to just being measurement unit, where the combination of measurement unit and scale.
Yes, I think units and scales are concepts, are so tightly tied together, they have to be treated as related,
together at least, yes. And but measurement procedure and reference material are really more on the metrology side of things. You could keep reference there as a kind of abstract concept, just to preserve mappability, also to maintain in mappability through the gene.
Yes, certainly.
It's not an essential concept.
Mm. Well, I think it is going to be important if we do keep it to, at the very least, document very carefully the intention that it is there intended to conform to or correspond to this broader notion that
right.
Dim is in. Because if we keep, I know, again, from experience with W3C standards, is that if you put a vague concept in, a holder concept into an ontology, and then publish the ontology without careful explanation, people will hallucinate other meanings onto it. In other words, different user
right.
communities will take it to mean different things.
Yeah, well, it has to be precisely defined what it is, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, but it has to be precisely, I don't want to say defined, because I think it won't be defined in the ontology. You have to say the ontology itself will have very little to say about this category. It will just be there to be a sort of a place where people who are used to the thin vocabulary can feel comfortable. And we should say that. Okay, good.
Yeah. I have another thought on this. Is
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Hans Peter again. One of the things that struck me is that the, I mean, in their definition of quantity, they use the word property, which is in itself a heavily overloaded concept, both in physics or in any kind of modeling, and certainly also in ontologies. So, what struck me was that if you start with a top level concept of property, which can be subclassed into several disjointed or covering subclasses, for instance, quantitative property and qualitative property, where a quantitative property is almost a synonym of quantity, and or could be a synonym of quantifiable property or property with numerical value, and qualitative property could be any other kind of property, then of course another one would be like the OWL subclassing into two subclasses, data property and object property, like you've done in OWL, where then very naturally quantity could be seen as a sub-property of actually the data property in OWL, or a property in any ontology.
Yes.
And if you work this out, this might provide a relatively clean way of handling the concept of quantity.
Yes.
So
I would need to
illustrate it with some subclass hierarchies and with a few Venn diagrams to show exactly what I mean.
Yeah, that would be handy, although I believe I follow you, and I agree. That it certainly, I think, physical properties of things should be modeled in the ontology as properties, and one of the utilities of common logic, of course, is that it can be properties can be first-class citizens and can partake in properties themselves and be put in classes and so forth with perfect freedom. So, well, there are no barriers there to express them. Yes, certainly. That's a good suggestion.
This is Steve again. I just was wondering, Pat, have you taken a look at some of the other ontologies to see how they handle some of these issues?
I have looked at the other ontologies. I haven't seen this particular issue coming up in them to the same extent, anyway. This issue of there being classes or categories or terminologies that have been kind of that I believe to have been put there as a result of a sort of political compromise in order to mask or cover over fundamental distinction using a common word. I mean, I think the thing is, if one is setting out up front to write an ontology, that all the method, all the kind of standard methodologies in the field militate against this. They kind of require one to clarify meanings, as it were, as far as possible. I think there's a rather different goal, which I suspect in logic will be better within, which is to create a common textual vocabulary, which is not quite the same goal. And there, the political pressures can overweigh those of what you might call conceptual analysis.
Yeah. Well, I think this is helpful. I hope it doesn't cause us more problems than we are hoping to achieve, in the sense that you don't want to get a knee-jerk reaction from the Zen community.
Right, I understand. And I gather it's a fairly large community. I mean, we have to treat them seriously, I take it.
Yes, I think so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
They're part of the establishment of neutrality, basically. One, things. You know, most countries have a national metrology institute with people who participate to one extent or another in the gym activities and the comparisons that are always going on in the country.
Okay. Does anybody have any more comments on the technical points we were talking about? Because I'd like to raise another one if not.
Just to finish on this one, I know Steve has been contacting, Steve and Ed has been contacting Charles Ehrlich, who is the VIM person at NIST. And obviously he represents one of the two positions. So I was thinking whether we could bring these people in so that we can hear them directly, I mean, firsthand, so as to make sure we don't sort of further misinterpret them. And that would also, I mean, serves two purposes. As another, I would say, more important purpose as well, is to get them to be involved. I personally see, I mean, whether they embrace what we do as an important measure of how successful we are at the end of the day.
Yeah, I would add to that, Peter, that Chuck was the one who told, I was at a presentation he gave where he brought up this very issue of the intended ambiguity. So he's quite aware of it. He was simply recounting that different regions of the world have different sort of cultural positions on it. But so he's not so much on one side of the issue,
okay,
as much as quite aware of the issue and bringing it out in the open, actually.
Even better.
Are there slides of that presentation available by any chance?
Let me dig back. I mean, I don't have them in my possession, but the seminar he gave at NIST, and it was I don't know if that particular issue was might have just been his commentary rather than a slide. But I can, I mean, as soon as we can get him to sit him down, he's traveling so much. He has agreed that he is probably the correct person at NIST for doing the liaison between the VIM community and the foremost activities. So I think he's got the right person. And he understands, he wants to have another conversation with me and probably with Ed as well on, you know, just what it is we're trying to do, and we'll probably discuss this issue among others. But I'm optimistic that he will engage, and in which case also we can get a copy of the slides to do things like that.
Sounds great.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
Heading out again, I think he sent his email tomorrow somewhere else, and so he had to get ready. You just got to get him to sit still.
Yeah, lowering the temperature. Is there any, I'd like to, maybe this is jumping the gun then, but is there anybody here on the call who can elucidate this notion of, which is quoted in Ed's email, the notion of, I'm quoting that, the notion of the, quote, magnitude of a quantity as an interpretation of quantity is sacred to specification counting. Heresy for the name of the counting. Now, I looked through the VIM, and I didn't find magnitude of a quantity is mentioned there anywhere. So I'm wondering exactly what is being referred to here. Can anybody enlighten me?
I'm going to have to go on mute for a little bit here. I'm about to hop in the car, but I don't really have an option to offer on that, so I'll defer to others.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, since Ed wrote it, so at least he's closer to someone who understands the issues, but then, I mean, getting people like Chuck Ehrlich or people who represented different sides of that option.
Is Ed coming on the call, or is it here?
Yeah, I did not get a response from him. So
I assume he would be on the call, but I can't call out to find him independently this time. Sorry.
That's okay. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. this is Hans Peter. I'm a little aware of the problem that might be here. I think is also the reason why there is the difference between kind of quantity and quantity. That is whether a quantity inherently includes magnitude or not. So whether you can speak of length without having a number in there, or a number and a unit,
whether
you can speak of length. I think this is, but I'm guessing a bit.
That makes sense, because that issue clearly is you could almost see the stress in the Zinn wording over this issue. And
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because, and if you take a pure ontological standpoint, you could create an ontology where you start from what they call kind of quantity, which is basically the top level class of everything. Then you have length, and then you have length with a value, with a magnitude, and then you have length expressed in meter or whatever. But you can go you can make a hierarchy of this if you use formal specialization or specialization generalization.
Yes, indeed.
Of course, in the Finn, they do natural enrichment, and they don't have the, let's say, the formal data modeling or ontology building type of concepts as part of their tools to properly define the vocabulary.
Right. Yes. Okay. Well, that's actually something of a relief. If this issue, the one in the email, is indeed that issue, because that one, I think they understand pretty well, and I was concerned that there was a whole other issue here at the core of the ontology that I didn't understand at all. So that's very reassuring, at least temporarily reassuring, until I hear words from the next.
Yeah, I'm just guessing, so we really should ask the specialist.
Yes, right. Another issue which I haven't put on the agenda, which when I look through the entire VIM, which I guess I have not done until recently, read the whole document, a very large percentage of it, I'd say well over, three-quarters of it, is concerned with very specifically necrological issues like, what equipment is used to make the measurements, errors,
correct,
and so forth. How much of this is in our scope, do we feel?
This was the point I was trying to make at the start, that we, with Promos, I think we're really looking at the scope, which is a subset, exactly what you were indicating, a subset of the what this PLM, what VIM is treating. So essentially the first, the clause one, quantities and units.
Okay, good. Because then a large amount of the concerns of the VIM, and which are clearly fairly fundamental in their thinking, that they change from one version to another, for example, their basic model of what an error is, I think can be put aside for us, which is advantageous, because it would be quite hard to get into that in detail.
That's right.
Is there anyone else who has people strongly agreeing here? Anyone have a negative view?
No.
I think trying to keep the scope small is better to start.
Yeah, okay.
Right. So shall I documentation, shall I say things like error, how to measure, conversion will be beyond our scope, at least for now?
I'm sure I'll write
to make it
specifically necrological concepts concerned with measurement techniques and measurement errors.
I think we could even, for the time being, we could state that the scope of clause would be more or less clause one of the VIM, which only describes all the concepts that are needed to characterize the quantities and units.
Yes.
And then it's clause two is going into measurement and all sorts of details on how you measure and how you set the measurement procedures and all that. and accuracy and or uncertainty?
There are a couple of concepts, I think, in the beginning of section two that we probably will need to cover. But yeah, I think we don't get to see it yet.
Yeah, I mean, it's not precise, but it gives a good indication, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, I'm capturing this into notes as much as I can, but will Pat and Hans Peter please review this after the meeting and make sure I got it down right. If you please.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, well I'm afraid I have now completed all my business. So thank you for your feedback. So I know it's a little premature, but I could hand the meeting back over to you.
Okay. I guess we will go down the normal agenda now. We have a other preparations for the Cuomo's meeting, which I guess we won't talk about. But essentially, I need to remind people that the response period to the TC charter ends tomorrow. So if anyone, I mean, this is an open response system for OASIS. So anyone who has further comments onto the draft charter should get that in within today and tomorrow. I think it's like 5 p.m. tomorrow or something. And so far, I believe Mary McCrae wrote back and say she has not received any response yet. I promised this group a response. I mean, I actually promised Howard to add a look back the history of, let's say, the Ontology Summit and the Ontolog working group work as a contribution to the Cuomo's TC. So I need to do it today. I believe a few people needed or wanted to be original proposers of this charter, and they should get themselves in. Persons like Steve, if you're still on the phone. Because after that, I think the comment and the revision of the charter will sort of come to a next phase. And for the original proposers especially, but I mean the only one person that needs to be at a meeting would be Howard with OASIS. Is that meeting that would be coming up this Thursday from Mary McCrae, which I noted down under the point any other business. So other proposers or potential proposers, please take note and join the meeting if you want to. That's what I have on this point. Then maybe we can make a quick rundown on where we stand or progress status review on the rest of the deliverables. So Ed did say that he would sort of come last after everyone has something. But I was at one point I was suggesting that he or maybe we collectively develop a table of contents first. But since he's not here, maybe we can defer this discussion. Pat has spoken his part. Rob and Chip and Hans Peter, I believe there is some concerns because, I mean, usually when you divide up the work, it's much more difficult to coordinate. And since Rob and Chip Masters are much more difficult to pin down. So what is there any suggestion on this part, or are we all comfortable? Maybe Hans Peter.
Well, just one. Go ahead.
Okay. Go ahead. Sir Pat.
Okay. This is Pat.
Fat Hayes, yeah. I mean, one quick comment on the OWL anthology. It's far more complete and thorough than the rest of the work, to be honest, I think. So, to some extent, it is...
Sorry, which one is this?
The OWL.
Which OWL anthology? Is this is an OWL QUDV anthology? Or?
The one, hold on, I'm just getting on my screen so I can... The one under UM ontology standard OWL draft. Yes, the QUDV.
Okay, yeah. That's the one I've been working on, and yeah, we try to be quite thorough in addressing all the JIM concepts, and also, well, and not go overboard with the number of concepts we have in there, so it's still reasonably simple to use in a practical application.
Right, but you've also, you have a very large number of concrete cases, you know, actual units of various exotic kinds listed there.
Yes.
The thoroughness of that work impresses me that the ontological foundations must be in reasonably good shape. Well, I can see they are anyway, but you know, the fact that they work in all these cases is very encouraging. So I'm treating that as a benchmark, frankly, right now.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. But one of the things we are doing, what we have made as a design decision, which is something that maybe should be discussed later on, is we have very clearly separated the core concepts as, because it was originally done in UML as a UML M1 level class library. And then all the additional concepts which are, let's say, instantiating the SI system of units and the international system of quantities, which is basically ISO IEC 80000, we have put those as individuals only, which is in some cases a little bit awkward because you could more elegantly do this using metaclassing or more advanced ontological concepts or constructs, let's say.
But you are fitting yourself into the OWL framework as comfortably as you can, right?
That's right. And at the same time, have a one-to-one correspondence with the UML M1, M0 type model.
Right. Yes, I saw that. That was it took a lot of work has gone into this, by the way. Can you give us an estimate of how much work? How long has it taken?
Well, we've been working on since January 2009, so approximately 6 months, I would say 1 or 2 days a month.
Yeah.
With, let's say, about 3-4 people.
Yeah, okay.
Does that include the UML or just then you already have the UML in hand?
No, that includes the UML. So it's really the conceptual design work.
Mm.
And making it compatible with the existing SysML specification, which is also a constraint.
May I ask, Hans-Peter, did you look over what the top quadrant people, the chip masters, QUDT work, and the side unit on suite. So would you consider those sort of subsets of the scope that you've already covered?
We used some of the suite ontology from NASA as one of the references as an input, let's say. On the QUDT with top quadrant is more the other way around. Actually, they got one of our drafts in March when we had developed, let's say, a version 0 of this QDV model, and they started from that one. So actually, there should not be much difference between QUDT and QDV because they come from this exactly the same origin. So basically, it's a branch of the same development where... the top quadrant model was, let's say, a first validation of representing the same, the UML model we had at that time in as a formal OWL ontology.
That sounds good. So the two things that comes to mind immediately, one is, I mean, would you mind if you become, let's say, the point person for this group of three editors for the OWL ontology? That's number one. And number two is, how do we get you into the OASIS group so that you continue to be an active part of the group without sort of the OASIS process coming in the way?
Yeah, there's, well, on the formalities of being in the OASIS organization, this is a bit difficult for me because to get European Space Agency in as a member would be that I don't think has a high likelihood of succeeding within a reasonable time frame.
But can you wear the OMG hat? I'm not even an OMG member. I assume you are, but can you wear the OMG hat and sit in that standards group as having come from OMG?
I'll check with Roger Burkhardt if that could be done like that, or whether actually I'm more part of ECOSY than of OMG in this respect. But maybe there's some modality you can be found there.
Yes. I mean, this is probably something maybe Steve and Howard want to address, but I mean, I'm just throwing out ideas.
Yeah, I'm back.
Oh, you're back. Did you hear what we were talking about?
Yeah. I was on. I was just muted. So. I don't know. Why is DSA have difficulty joining OASIS?
Well, I don't think that would be difficulty, but it's just a very large bureaucratic organization, so it will take a lot of time before that formally happens.
I see.
It's like asking NASA to join OASIS, and although a lot of people might be in favor of doing that, the actual act of doing it might take a year. I don't know. It's not going to be fast.
We could ask, we could ask Laurent Lucia if he might have some conduit into CSA, and he might be able to make it happen quicker. That would be the most direct thing, obviously, if CSA were a member of OASIS.
I will do some little investigation on my side to see if there's somebody within our organization who's already involved somehow, or whether there are possibilities there. But the only thing is, I cannot commit to that.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I think that's something we could all look into, and on this coming Thursday's call with OASIS, maybe that could be brought up. Or Steve, I mean, since you know Laurent fairly well, you might want to talk to Laurent to sort of work it from the OASIS angle, and Hans Peter can work it from the ESA angle.
All right, I'll bring it up with Laurent.
Okay, thank you. I'll try my best.
Yes. But either way, consider, I mean, we definitely need you on the working team one way or the other, whatever hat you wear.
I would be happy to participate.
Yes, and Steve, while okay, thanks. Steve, while you were on mute, we talked about the Thursday meeting and tomorrow being the deadline to change the TC charter. So I just wanted to make sure you are aware.
Well, I don't know where we stand with either Howard joining us or with Ed.
Okay. Maybe if we are done, we're done. And they can join us at the next Tuesday call, if not sooner.
Okay. That's fine with me. I think I'm really glad that Pat had a chance to
share those issues, does that mean those are really important issues?
Yes, and thanks for the feedback from everybody. And by the way, for the record, I know I'm still on the critical path.
Okay.
Yep.
What do you say, Peter? Should we call it a day on this?
Yep, definitely. Well, thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
Next week, right?
Okay, next Monday, the 14th. Same time.
Okay.